Hey there, everybody, and welcome to Day Minus One of Mobile World Congress.
T-Minus One
of Mobile World Congress. We are at the end of a very, very long day of T-Minus One.
Yeah.
Damn thing hadn't even started yet. I'm Phil Dickinson from AndroidCentral.com. We're going to kind of have a Android-centric little chat right now. Got Alex Dobie from the site. We all know him.
Hey, everyone.
And Simon Sage.
You don't know me, but yeah.
If you don't know me by now. Alex, that's really good. Good job. So, let's talk a little bit about what we saw today. A couple Android phones. One or two.
One or two, yeah.
One or two.
Just a couple.
Who went to the first event today? I'm trying to think.
Might have been me.
Yeah, you went to Huawei.
So Huawei announced a few devices, but the main focus was on their new quad-core thing, which is the Ascend D Quad.
The Huawei Ascend D Quad.
Yep.
Bless you.
You're forgetting the Huawei Ascend D Quad XL, which is the same phone with a bigger battery.
How the hell did I forget that?
I know, right? But so it's 4.5-inch quad-core. You know, it's Huawei taking on the high-end Android manufacturers with something that looks like it's going to be delivering really high-end specs in pretty much every area. So you've got a 12-megapixel camera, you know, 4 gig of RAM, this quad-core chip, which is actually their own design quad-core chip, not Tegra 3, as has been rumored.
A rumor was wrong.
Yeah. Oh, shocking.
A pre-event rumor was wrong.
Yeah.
Wow.
Actually, that was, you know, kind of strange this year because a lot of the rumors have actually turned out to be right on the money.
So that's great for Huawei.
Yeah.
I went to LG. So they've announced, what, 8 devices leading up to Mobile World Congress? They had 6 of them there. Yeah, exactly. 6 devices. They had the L series, and that's a big deal. They had the Optimus 3D Max. They had the Optimus 4X Max. I'm trying to remember names.
I think it's the 4X.
Optimus 4X Max. HD Max.
Yeah.
Max HD. I don't know. Go look it up. That was like 5 hours ago. And the LG View, which is the crazy 5-inch, 4x3, whatever. The thing's huge. Like, it's ginormous. It's thin. It's not... it's unwieldy. It's big. It's big!
And so is the Galaxy Note, if you get right down
sure,
to it.
Sure, absolutely.
Every day.
No, you know what? Somebody was complaining on the review I wrote that you focus too much on the size. It's like, I don't think I harped on the size at all. But you can't ignore it either.
No.
I mean, yeah. Whether you think it's too big or not, the damn thing's big. These are numbers. This is math.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, considering most smartphones at this point are just, like, an endless sea of touchscreen slates, there needs to be differentiating features, right? And the Galaxy Note, it's the size. It's the size and the pen. Mm. That's all it's got going for it.
The pen was a little disappointing.
Yeah, because it's capacitive, isn't it?
It's not like a Wacom pen and I don't know the exact technology involved, but put it this way. The Galaxy Note has a little plastic tip on the end of the pen. This one's rubber, you know, like you would expect from an old-school capacitive stylus, right? If you were to buy a stylus for an iPhone, this is what it would be. So the problem is when you're drawing on the thing, you get more resistance. It's a slower motion and a slower feel.
But like I find on the Galaxy Note, I'm sure you'll agree, Alex, that like there's no friction on
it. And that's great. I mean, if you're using swipe to type, you can go so quickly with it.
See, for me, it's a bad thing because like it'll just slip off in the direction that you're not intending. Like my handwriting is really terrible on the thing. I mean, it's pretty bad in general. But
it didn't help my handwriting at all.
Either. Yeah, that's true.
So you had that, you have the Optimus 3D Max HD, I don't know, whatever the name is. It's the follow-up to the Optimus 3D from last year. The very first, you know, LG brought 3D to smartphones, and I still haven't forgiven them for that. It hasn't really gotten much better. I mean,
the problem is it's the same phone. It's 200 megahertz faster, and it's the same phone in a different shell.
They've added some more software, so you can edit 3D video on there now. I couldn't remember if it was brand new or not. Alex says no, but you can convert 2D apps to 3D. And that worked okay. We saw Angry Birds.
Yeah. I think that they were saying that you can use it on Google Maps as well. So if you want to get right down to street level and view all the 3D stuff, that'll be
interesting. Yes, and we tried to do it, but the internet in there sucks, so it didn't work. But we're going to see Google Earth that way. The Optimus 4X HD Max 3D, whatever that one is. There's not a lot different there. It's quad core. It's a quad core phone. So you can output video and have a ball doing that. I mean, Alex is like, that's it? That's all you can say about it? I'm like, well, what the hell do you want it to do? It doesn't burn a hole in your hand when you use it. It doesn't get hot. Things don't fly by on the screen really fast. So, I mean, and it's got LG's UI on it, for better or for worse, if you don't like that. The L series was cool. So that's kind of the sexy little new stylish series they have, right? And it's three phones, and a high-end, a medium-end, and a low-end. The low-end, just don't, I said it in the video, and I was maybe a little harsh, but don't consider it. I mean, I know, I've been bad on low-end phones before, and I know there's a place for them. There's no place for a, what was it, QVGA, quarter VGA screen. It's, you know, that's 320 by 480. That's, no, it's 2012. You should not put out a phone with that resolution ever. It looks horrible.
Half VGA maybe, but
yeah, half VGA maybe at that, and it's a 3.2 inch screen, so it's not very big, but it just looks like crap. The L5 was a little better. It's QHD, and I tell you, you can put QHD up next to 720, and you can tell the difference. Well, was it QHD or is it HVGA? I forget. You could tell.
Yeah,
there's an obvious difference between the two. I actually liked the feel of the phone a lot. It was very fast. But once you put it side by side with the 720p of the L7, that's when you can really tell. The L7 is sexy. I like what you what LG has done to the UI. That looked really nice. A lot of that is LG, and a lot of that is Ice Cream Sandwich. Now, LG changed a little bit less in ICS than HTC did. Segway. I went to HTC tonight. Three new phones. It's actually bigger than that, so they have a whole new line. Right, it's the HTC One. Now, when Peter Chow was talking, he was making it sound like it was just one phone at first, but it's not. So we have more than one phone right now. You have, and all these have kind of underlying features, which is a badass camera, HTC Beats, and then the design. So the camera is a big deal. The camera is a really big deal. Now, we need to wait and take some test shots before we declare it 100% a big deal, I guess. But this is their focus. HTC no longer is putting cameras in as an afterthought. So 8-megapixel cameras. It had this thing called ImageSense, which is a dedicated processor to processing the video and still pictures. And a lot of things you can do with that. What was really interesting to me is that the camera actually shoots in RAW format. So anyone who takes pictures, that's like, I mean, you would think a digital image is a digital image, but that's not quite the case. A raw image can be manipulated better than a JPEG, right? Because JPEG, things are compressed, you lose stuff. So it's working with it in raw on the phone itself while it's rendering and doing whatever it is you want to. So, you know, whatever filters you have on it, or the shutter speed is a big thing. So it has a 0.7 second shutter speed, 7/10 of a second, it fires off.
Nice.
Just about instantaneous.
So does it change any, you know, obviously shooting in RAW, how does that change all the apps that rely on having a JPEG if you want to share and stuff like that?
It still spits out a JPEG at the end of the day, but before it hits that JPEG status, the phone itself is using RAW.
Right.
So it's nothing, you know, the end user will ever see. Mm-hmm. It's not like you have to put in Lightbox before you can send it through Gmail or something. So you have the camera, everything has Beats now, that is good, but the cool thing about Beats is they've lowered it in the audio stack. So that every application has Beats enhancements now, or has that option.
Can you tell a big difference there? Like,
I need to use one full time, and I haven't used one full time.
I think I used one last year. Andrew Barker did, and if you're using it as a review unit, and you actually have the time to sit down in a quiet room with Beats phone and non Beats phone, there is a big difference.
Yeah,
I mean, there's still a lot of controversy about that. There's, you know, people. Some people say it makes a big difference. Other people say it just makes it bassier.
And some people just will never notice.
Yeah.
And that's okay, too. I mean, it doesn't make you a bad person. It's just, you know, some people's ears aren't trained that way. I can never see the damn sailboat in those pictures.
It's a schooner.
Sailboat! So that's good. Oh, another thing with the camera is you can snap still images while you're taking video. So that's cool. It's very continuous like that. Hardware-wise, the One X, that is the flagship phone, 4.7 inches, 720p display. It's made out of polycarbonate, which is a fancy word for plastic. It's a fancy plastic. It's a polycarbonate plastic. It feels like plastic. It feels a lot like the Sensation. It's not necessarily a bad thing, but when you compare it to the One S, which is the little brother, you can really tell. So the One S is made out of aircraft-grade aluminum that has been, I call it fried, and made one HTC rep who actually works with the people who design and build the phone now, he starts laughing. He's like, you know, we never thought of that. But what they do is they take it and they basically cook it in plasma. I forget for how long. And they showed video of it. It's really cool. You just see the whole thing like light up and metal starts flaking off and all this weird stuff. And it's called micro arc oxidation. And it basically changes the aluminum into a ceramic somehow. I mean, physics and science and stuff. And it feels really good. It doesn't quite feel like metal. It doesn't quite feel like soft touch. It doesn't quite feel like plastic. It's some weird in-between state.
Hmm.
You know, and they said they cook these things, you know, batches at a time, and you still got to put leads on them and stuff so they don't, you know, create a singularity and kill us all. But it feels really good. It's nice. I like the 4.3-inch size a little better, I think, than the 4.7. 4.7 is just big. Yeah,
like you were saying before, 4.7 with buttons. Buttons, it makes a big difference.
The ICS buttons down at the bottom are capacitive, right? They're not part of the display, and we knew that. And it's a little odd. And then they brought back the Legend. How badass is that? So it was 2 years ago, my first Mobile World Congress, Dieter and I are at the HTC event, and they gave us the Desire and the Legend, and there's a Windows mobile phone, too. And everybody kind of fell in love with the Legend at the time. It had an underwhelming display. I think it was HVGA or something lame like that. But they brought it back, so it's been a couple years. And the chin is back. The unibody design is back. All of these are unibody designs, more or less. I don't know why. I mean, when you can't remove the battery,
it's all one piece. Yeah.
So that's something to note about all three of those phones. You cannot remove the batteries. Non-removable batteries, you cannot remove them.
That's going
to
piss some people off.
Yeah, especially people in LCE.
Yes. Or like me tonight. I just swap a battery and I couldn't.
Wait, didn't one of these phones have like a 1900 milliamp hour battery?
One's got an 18. It's 18. I think they're 18, 16, 15, and 1500.
Okay.
The 1X has 1800, so it's not huge.
Yeah.
And actually, we've seen some other phones, you know, tonight with 2000 milliamp hour batteries, and that's nice. We need to see either the capacity needs to increase significantly or the way things work needs to change because we need better batteries.
It's just worth saying that we don't really know the way quad core influences power at this stage.
Yeah, we don't really have
that much
time
more efficient or whether it's about the same. So, you know, we might be pleasantly surprised. It might be a nasty surprise. We'll just have to wait and see when we test it.
Sense 4, technically Sense 4.0, but they're calling it, you know, when you talk about it, they say Sense 4. I like it. I do. I mean, I like ice cream sandwich. I'm used to ice cream sandwich. I get it. I like what LG did with it. Sense does things a little differently because that's what HTC does. So they've skinned the menus, you know, more than LG did, I think, and, you know, they're definitely different than stock ice cream sandwich. The home screen experience is relatively stock at this point. The dock has gone back to a standard 5 icon thing.
And, which I think most people want.
Yes, yeah. I believe so.
Yeah, I think we're past the stage where you just want apps, phone, and whatever in there.
Right. In talking to HTC about it, they said, look, you know, we listened to the feedback over the past year. People thought we needed to step back a little bit from the Sense experience and, you know, give them what they want, basically. So that's what they've done. Widgets are still going on in the standard way. So you have to hold down on the home screen to do a widget. And then you get to add it. It's almost like Samsung's where you get little previews of the home screens and then you pick which one you want to put it on and slide it up there. Only except for Samsung put them on the bottom, HTC put them up top. I'm sure that wasn't on purpose at all. But I like it a lot. I really do. I think if you've hated Sense, you know, this is a really nice happy medium and I hope you try it before you totally ditch it. Man, I'm trying to talk myself out of it, but it might finally be time to open a T-Mobile line here in the States because they're getting Sensation, or the Sensation, the 1S. And I love that feel. I do. But I like the 1X. LTE. I don't know if I'm going to get AT&T LTE anytime soon. But I'm excited for HTC. I really am coming out of this excited because I've been suffering with a Thunderbolt on Verizon for a long time, and that kind of made me sour, but I like the Sensation phones. I thought they were really good. This is a nice step. Golf clap.
It's kind of interesting that they've got the one branding across all the US carriers as well, so AT&T and T-Mobile.
It's not guaranteed, and I was talking to Sasha Sagan from PC Mag about that today, and he's under the impression that there's maybe more of a chance that the US carriers will screw it up. I mean, and I flat out asked HTC in our briefing on this. I was like, what's the deal with, I mean, are the U.S. carriers going to screw it up? And they made it sound like they're going to be pretty adamant about keeping this naming convention. And I hope so. For a number of reasons. I hope HTC has the pull with the carriers to do that. I think it's better from a branding standpoint. It's better for consumers. You know, we don't need any of this Galaxy S2, Epic 4G Touch, Epic 4G, Vibrant.
Yeah.
Fascinate
And that's
stuff.
Just a perfect example of what happens when you have both pulling in separate directions. Yes. You end up with both. You know, you could end up with maybe a T-Mobile HTC One S Supreme 4G or something stupid like that.
Yeah. But you know, I mean, if you think HTC now, think camera, think audio, and think design, and that's where they're coming at things for 2012, I think.
Cool.
So do we have any, like, common thread among all the announcements today? Like, it seems quad-core is really big at the show.
What did Sony do?
Well, Sony was kind of the exception. They didn't show anything new or anything particularly high-end. I mean, you know, it's arguable that Sony's high-end stuff isn't actually, you know, they're using last year's chips. They're focusing instead on design and software. But they showed the Xperia P and the Xperia U. And I'm trying to remember which one's actually which. But the Xperia P is basically a tiny little Xperia S. Similar specs, I think slightly lower clock speed. Same software, you know, slightly lower screen. Aluminium chassis, very, very nice. Feels nice in the hand.
That's aluminum for you folks in the US. Say it again.
Aluminium.
I think you're making it up now.
Yeah.
I like this version better.
But it's, yeah, both the phones they showed today are just shrunk, at the most basic level, shrunk down versions of the Xperia S. The Xperia P feels really nice in the hand. It looks really nice. But it's nothing particularly new. The one thing which I guess is maybe a little bit new is they've gone with a few customization features in the Xperia U. So if you change the color of the UI, like you can in Sony Ericsson phones, it'll change the color of the notification bar.
Oh, that's awesome. Lit up bar. I'm totally in.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
So there's that, and you can also change the bottom of the device underneath the light. You can clip that off and put a different color on.
Hell is that? What? No. What is that?
I don't know. It's the same principle as getting a different colored battery cover, isn't it? It's just, I guess maybe it's a little stupider than that. Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I flew 4,000 miles and had to go to that press conference, I'd be upset. I'm just saying. I didn't have to go to it, so I'm just fine with
it. Yeah. I think the interesting thing is going to be what price point they bring these at.
Sure.
Because here we've got Sony bringing in an entry-level device, which is very much an entry-level device. So I think we're going to get much cheaper out of Sony this year than the Xperia P. The Xperia U. So it's going to be interesting to see what price that comes in at. Because if it's about the same as what we've had from HTC with the Wildfire series and Samsung with the Galaxy Mini, it's going to be pretty interesting.
Anything else? It's kind of a full day, actually.
Yeah. For you guys, I got off light. I was a showstopper. That was it. Like,
yeah, so what do you see there?
Well, ViewSonic actually had a couple of things. They had two tablets and two phones and a couple of variants for each. But they're all due for more Asian markets, maybe a little bit of Europe, because they're mostly dual SIM. That's kind of ViewSonic's main selling point. So we probably aren't ever going to see them in North America. And even if we did, I don't think we'd want to, because the software currently running on them is terrible. It's, like, super, super unstable. I get that they're showing it off early, yeah, but, like...
You know, sometimes they are. It's hit and miss with these things at trade shows. Sometimes it's really stable and it's the final software. Other times it's horrible, janky, and really slow.
Yeah, I think it's a consistent thing with ViewSonic, because I talked to these guys last year about their first dual SIM phone, and I had to visit their booth three times in order to get, like, a single two-minute video demo, so... I don't have a lot of confidence in these guys, but they are doing stuff that not a lot of people are. Like, is anyone else doing dual SIM?
Samsung is, and they announced a few last week for India.
Okay.
Yeah, and you get them. Motorola's had them for a long time for, I think, Chinese or Korean markets, forget which, but I've seen them, you know, over the years. So yeah. I mean, a dual SIM is more use case than it is,
yeah,
like, cool tech.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, there's just no reason for it here in the States when people don't share phones, yeah. And...
They do have one of their tablets is dual booting Windows 7 and Android, which I could that is like a recipe for instability. Like, I can see that exploding the second you pull it out of the box. But I wouldn't mind trying it out. You
which
know.
Version of Android is it?
I think it was running ICS.
Okay.
Yeah. All of their handsets were either running ICS or they were going to within like 6 weeks of launching. So.
So coming up on Monday, we got Asus. I think they've been teasing the Pad phone for a month now, for 2 months. So we're pretty sure that's
about a year.
True. That thing's been announced for a long time. So we'll see what else they got. I get a meeting with Carrier IQ in the morning. I'm really looking forward to that, actually. I've got Canonical at lunchtime, so we're going to go check out Ubuntu for Android. or Ubuntu. It's weird how people pronounce it sometimes. I'm probably saying it wrong. And then some other stuff. Windows Phone stuff, finally. Nokia event is bright and early in the morning. Dan is sleeping right now. He's here. Dan from WP Central will be on that. More phones. I'm sure somebody else will announce something. We'll go play with the new Samsung stuff at some point, but whatever.
Well, I guess we've probably mentioned that. That came out today. The news.
So the 10.1 was announced. I guess I woke up and it had been announced. And there was a big billboard out this morning that wasn't there earlier.
Yeah. So we don't really know much about it other than the fact that what was on the billboard that happened.
No, I'm sorry. It hasn't been actually announced. It was just kind of outed. It was the Tab 2 that was announced.
Okay.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
The Tab 2 and the Beam. Did we talk about those last night? I think we did.
Maybe not.
Maybe. Anyway, one's got a projector, whatever. The other one is the version from Germany that got around the Apple patents. The Galaxy Tab version. So, a little updated because, you know, it's been like a week since we had the Galaxy Tab announced. Guess we're about due.
Yeah.
So, we're going to go play some more and go get some rest. It's almost 2 in the morning here in Barcelona. So, we're sleepy and we got to be up early. So, thank you guys for reading and listening. You're what make all this hellish good food and drink and city and actually nice weather worth the late nights. Thank you guys. We'll catch you next time.
See ya.
See ya.